Susie. Susie is the new novel from William Wall. It's the story of three friends, Susie, Serena and Holly, seen through the eyes of Susie herself. And she has a problematic home life, a developer father and a mother whom she is sure wants to kill her. And I think she's pretty sure that she wants to kill the mother as well. Áine Ní Chlann has been reading Susie for us, and she's with me in studio now. I suppose if we talk about Susie's domestic situation, first of all, developer father, property developer, Celtic Tiger success, but we are in the post-Celtic Tiger phase here, aren't we, Áine,
in the story? We are, yes. And without giving too much away, the father is under stress because he has done really well during the time of the Celtic Tiger, but the revenue has now caught up with him. So the family is in not a total financial crisis, but in Susie's head. And this is what's really interesting in the novel. We're in Susie's head. So everything is about what's happening in her head rather than the reality of life.
So the father, there's some word about what the revenue commissioners want, but she may be blowing this up into something much bigger than it is.
To a certain extent, yeah. She may or may not. But it's it's very much a picture of Susie being stressed out and being anxious about absolutely everything. She's anxious about her mother, her father. She sees him as greedy, and he is. He's a greedy property developer, and he is convinced that everything and everybody has a price, that you can buy whatever you want. And in the novel, in the early stages of the novel, he's very angry because there's a particular property he wants, he doesn't get it. And that property is central to what story there is. This is as much a teenager navigating the world and Susie and her friends and family navigating the world. It's as much about that as it is about the actual story.
As there is a story in
There are several bits of stories, and the story is good. But it's Susie that carries
it. It's really Susie's character that, and I suppose it's called Susie twice. So
exactly, Susie.
It's telling us it really on the front.
Yeah, I think there's a hint there. Yeah,
and I said in the introduction there, you know, she wants. She's convinced her mother wants to kill her, but she probably wants to kill her mother herself.
Absolutely.
And I'm half joking about that, but there's a tense relationship between the two of them.
There is, but in a way, while this is a dysfunctional family, and Susie tells us that she has Googled, as she does with everything, she Googles everything, and she tells us there are 15 signs of a dysfunctional family, and her family has 12 of them. But this is a normal dysfunctional family. How many of us are in or have come from totally functional families? So this is a teenager saying, oh, my family, like, is so dysfunctional.
Yeah,
like.
And certainly when you're a teenager, no matter how functional your family is, it's absolutely and totally dysfunctional. You just can't see anything right with anybody.
Exactly.
In the cliched version of it.
In the cliched version, yeah. And, you know, there are some good things about her family life, but a lot of her family life, in her view, is quite dysfunctional. So and her friends the same. They have dysfunctional
lives. Tell me a little bit about Serena and Holly are the two friends, aren't they?
Yes, Holly comes from a sort of a new age hippie type background. And while she is in some ways the weirdest of the three, she's actually the soundest of the three. And she is the true friend. Serena is troubled in her own way. And Serena gives us a very interesting insight into certain aspects of life. Serena has this notion that she's into alternative sexuality, and she goes on the alt.com website, and she is obsessed with the story we had some years ago of Graham Dwyer, and she's obsessed with that.
And that story specifically mentioned?
Yes, it's quite specific, which surprised me that there was a specific mention of a specific news story, but it's there. And not hugely relevant to the story, except that we get a sense of what Serena's into. But Serena, in a different way to Susie, is your typical teenager in that she tells us all the sex she's having and all the time she's meeting masters and doing this, that or the other with them. But I don't really believe it. Yeah. So it's a teenager giving the impression that she's living a life that she's probably not living at all. So and at one stage she's telling us she's pregnant or maybe pregnant. And she's actually not.
We have a teenager with difficulties at home with her parents. There's a sibling as well, isn't there?
Yes. And the sibling comes out as gay at one point. The mother is fine with it. The father doesn't cope very well with it.
Right, so that's part of her family story. She has these difficulties and I suppose the ins and outs of any teenage friendship. There sometimes you're in and sometimes you're out with your pal, and that's the way it is here. As if that wasn't enough, and I know you're saying that there are lots of stories happening here, but there's a murder as well in the midst of it all. It's kind of getting a bit crowded now, is it?
Not really, because again, it is this whole thing of teenagers navigating the world, and they get inadvertently caught up slightly on this, in this murder. The murder is connected with certain things in the story. If I tell too much about it, I would actually spoil it.
Spoil the reading of it.
The murder is connected with something that the father was involved in. He's not involved in the murder or anything, but there's a connection, and there's a connection with somebody who might be framed as a murderer. And the other connection for the teenagers is that two of them are the alibi for the person who might be framed. But in actually becoming the alibi and in coming out and telling the guards what they have seen, they now get into trouble because they shouldn't have been out in the first place.
They were doing
supposed to be in bed at the time. Okay. So it's full of little quirky things like this.
Now, you followed on Susie's own Googling activities. You went off Googling William Wall because you weren't that familiar with his work.
I wasn't familiar with William Wall at all. He had gone completely under my radar, but not anymore. I'll be reading more of him in the future. Yes, I took Susie's example. I Googled him. And the most interesting thing I found was that he uses the strong female voice as a distancing technique to keep himself out of the story. And I was fascinated with this because this is exactly what makes the story work. He's in Susie's head so totally. William Wall never intrudes.
And how well is this William Wall, this middle-aged man, inside the head of a teenage girl? How well does he get in there from your point of view?
He gets in there to perfection in that he understands all the issues that are troubling a teenager. He understands all the issues that relate to anxiety, depression. He handles the whole issue of self-harm and cutting very interestingly. At one point, so much so that I was quite disturbed by one passage where he describes someone self-harming. But overall, he gets the idea of a teenager who's suffering from anxiety, and I won't say which teenager, but a teenager who's suffering from anxiety, who cuts and gives themselves physical pain in order to numb the emotional pain.
And does he handle, because that's obviously a very delicate and a very difficult area, does he handle that well?
He handles it well, but the only aspect I felt he could have, because he brought that into the story, I felt he could have handled the consequences better, as in what might be done to resolve it. There's a person in the story who rants on about counselling being a waste of time and a waste of money, and that counsellors should be called coin sellers because they're just there for the money and they're all nuts themselves. Now, there's no balance on that. And I felt because he brought the self-harm in to such an extent and covered it with such depth, I would have liked to have seen more on the possibilities around counselling. But nevertheless, that's his story.
Yes.
And the person who rants on about counselling is that sort of person who would rant on about counselling.
And just one brief final topic around the idea of religion, which possibly fits in with the whole counselling. Is it? Are they related in some ways?
Well, Susie rants on about religion.
She rants
about a lot of things. Even poor old Seamus Heaney gets a bit of a rant at one stage because like in a lot of schools, digging and midterm break are about the only two poems that certain students get exposed to, and they do them over and over again at every different level. So she goes on about if digging was so much fun, why didn't Seamus Heaney become a builder instead of a poet? But in terms of religion, she's very funny in her rant about religion, because she figures that God created the world out of chaos, and it's, well, like he should have left it at chaos. If God was the CAO of a Fortune 500 company, he'd be toast by now, or maybe he'd be a billionaire and making a fortune out of global warming.
I like the sound of Susie's voice.
Yes, absolutely. And it ends up with, come back, God, all is forgiven, LOL.
Oh, okay. You enjoyed this, Anya?
I enjoyed it no end, to the point where all of Susie's likes and abbreviations annoyed the hell out of me, which made her into an even more real teenager.
And he has a little glossary at the back of all those.
And it's very useful, very useful.
If you don't know what LOL is, get the glossary and take a look. All right, Susie. Susie was the film that Áine na Glaoine, or the book rather, that Áine na Glaoine was speaking to us about. It was written by William Wall and it's published by Head of Zeus.